Karabos HaTez Daf is Yuma Daf Mem Dalet, and we're here at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis by the Gemara. We just had that long Mishnah at the end of yesterday, so now the Gemara is going to analyze that. Again, the first thing we had just said is that in the Mishnah is that someone has to stir the blood of the ox that the Kohen is going to shecht, the Kohen Gadol is going to shecht. Someone has to stand it and stir it. Basically, we said that he stands, where is it? In the Allah Rovid HaRevi, on the fourth row. We're going to just explain where exactly that was. And then the Gemara is going to get into a whole discussion of how could he stand there, because nobody really was supposed to be in the Heichal when the Kohen Gadol did these Avodas. Okay, so either way, we're at the Gemara here on the bottom. The Gemara says, initially, it says right away, off the bat, V'aksiv v'ad v'chal adam lo yebo ha-moed. I'd say so. Meaning, how in the world can someone, again, the phrase in the Mishnah, if you looked at the Mishnah, was he's memaris bo, he stirs, he mixes the liquid, the blood, al harovet harevi sheba heichal, right, on the fourth row of tiles, of floor tiling, in the heichal. Now, again, I just really should preface that if you have a diagram of the Beis HaMikdash, so it's important to get down a couple of terms and a couple of areas that we're going to talk about today. The actual Beis HaMikdash building, right, the building housing the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim looked like a T, almost, or looked like a top hat, depending on, how from an aerial, right, overhead view. Right, if you want a top hat, is probably more accurate. So the brim of the top hat, if you will, right, the long part that kind of protruded in the front on both sides, that was something called the ulam that the Gemara is going to talk about. Inside, after the ulam was the heichal or the kodesh, where you had the shulchan and the menorah and the mizbech hazav, and then there was the kodesh kadoshim. Okay, so that's important to get down. So the Gemara, when the pasuk says no one should go into the ohel moed, right? So meaning that you shouldn't go into the heichal, right? That no one should be in the kodesh, right? During when the kohen gadol was doing the avoda of the ketores inside the kodesh kadoshim. So how could the Mishnah say that the kohen is stirring the blood, right, on a rovet harevi shebaheichal, on the fourth row of stones in the heichal, in the kodesh? I thought no one's supposed to be in there. Right, again, in between the shechting of the par and the sprinkling of the blood, that's when the kohen brought the ketores inside to the kodesh kadashim. So how could it be that someone is standing inside the heichal? Right, Pasuk says very clearly that he shouldn't be there. So Rav Yehuda Tani shel heichal. No, what it means is fourth row outside the heichal. That didn't mean the fourth row in the Haichal, meaning the fourth row outside from the outside. Meaning when you count the rows outside of the Haichal, meaning in the Azara, so that would be where he stood. And now from that, the Gemara is going to now kind of analyze exactly who was allowed where, when, in what scenario, etc. So it says the Gemara Tanur Rabanan. We learned that a brisa of chol adam lo yebo hamoed. No one can be in the hamoed. Yachal afilu ba'azara. You might have thought that they can't even be in the Azara, right? Even in where the, right, outside the top hat of the top hat type building, right? The Beis HaMikdash building. So, I mean, in the Azara was where they had the Mizbech Nechoshes, right? The big Mizbech, and all this other stuff. So you might have thought everybody had to vacate even that. So, Tamalo, right? For the Pasuk says, but Ohel Moed. Then, no. The only problem is that if someone is in the actual Ohel Moed. Inli Elab Ohel Moed Shabbat Midbar. Now, I only know that applies. Ohel Moed, right, seems very specific to the Midbar, that there was an Ohel Moed, right, in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. But Shiloh based on Lomim Minayin, how do you know that after that, right, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, how do you know that that's true as well? So by Kodesh, right, so therefore the Pasuk says again, by Kodesh, meaning any type of holy place that is similar to this, right, including any other future structures. The Tosus just points out over here, there's a whole long Tosus over here that kind of asks, like, I thought, that first of all, we're missing a couple of places where the Beis HaMikdash was, right? You have Shiloh, you have the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan was also in Nov and Givon, right? Again, and the Gemara very often quotes that. So he talks about that a little bit. And it also talks about, very often, Tosos just asks that, very often when we have a pasuk that's talking about the Mishkan, right, we almost automatically apply it to the Beis HaMikdash. And why does the Gemara over here ask, well, how do you know? Maybe it should apply. Okay, fine, just to bring your attention if you want to spend a little bit more time. That's that long tosis on the side. Viter. Okay. Now, where do I leave off? Right. So, okay. So, many the bar kodesh. Ainli ela b'shas aktara. Now, I only know that you're not allowed, a kohen's not allowed to be in the kodesh, in the heichal, when the kohen gadol is doing the ketores inside the base, inside the kodesh kodesh. B'shas matan damim minayin. How do you know, even when he's sprinkling the blood of the par afterwards? So how do you know that also there shouldn't be anybody in there? So Tamalom, therefore the pasuk says, "Bevoah lechaper," right, to come to do atonement. Right? Okay, the sprinkling is also for atonement. Ainli ela b'knisaso. That's, and that only teaches me. We only know from the psukim from that, so that we've quoted so far, that it's only when he goes in. B'tziyasu minayin. How do you know you can't have anybody even when he leaves? Tamalom, I'd say so. Okay, v'chiper b'do v'ad beso v'ad kol kal yisrael. Right, that, and until he leaves. Sorry, that's the next part. I'd say so, period. That's until he leaves. His kapara comes before the kapara of his family, or his wife, etc. Kapara's beso, kudemus, the kapara's echav akohanim, and that comes before the rest of the kohanim, the kapara's echav akohanim, kudemus, the kapara's kolkal Yisrael, right, and that comes before the kapara for all of Am Yisrael. Amar Mar, Ainli Ela B'Shas Aktar, right? Again, in the Brisa it said, right, we only know that the Isser, to be in the Kodesh, is during the time of the Ketorah. The Gemara says, my mashma, right? Where'd you get that from? Right? Lo Yavo Eloha Moed, right? That's, there's a bunch of different avodas listed in those psukim. So where do you know, why did the Brisa originally say, Ainli Ela B'Shas Aktar, I only know that the Kohen is not allowed to go in when he's doing the Ketores? Where'd you see that in the Pasuk? So Marava, right, again, we assume that that's what the Pasuk is referring to, but what, the Gemara says, where do you see that in the Pasuk? V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, V'chein Amar Rav Yilazar, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So you see that Ezu Kapara Sheshav Alo Ulbeso Le'echav Akawanim L'chol Kal Yisrael. How do you know that we're talking about the Ketores here? Because which of the Avodas are equal, right, to everybody mentioned in that Pasuk? That to the Kohen, to the Kohen's family, Am Yisrael, right? Normally, right, the other atonements that happen throughout the day, right? You have the vidui that the Kohen says on the par, right? That's for him and his family. There's a different kapara, let's say for Am Yisrael, there's a kapara for the Sirat Meshtaleach, right? You have it's split a little bit, right? You have one vidui here, you have one vidui there. You have the Sirat Meshtaleach, the Sirat Hashem that atones for different avodas, different averas. So by all the other avodas, right, you have kind of like a breakdown in who is getting kapara from which avoda. But which avoda is uniform across all of Am Yisrael? Right, have the Omer, the Ketores, the Ketores, that apparently, right, it's only, right, the Ketores atones for everybody, right, equally. So therefore, that must be the topic of the pasuk, and that's how the Brisa knew to say that pasuk is telling me that a kohen cannot be in the kodesh when the kohen gadol is lefnai v'lefnim, right, inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Gemara says, Uktores Mechaperes. The Gemara says, one second. Does the Ketores really, is it really Mechaper? Right, really, there's some atonement here for the Ketores? So the Gemara says, in, yeah, sure. The Tani Rabbi Chananya. Rabbi Chananya says, Lamadnu the Ketores Shemechaperes. Right, Shanama, the Pasuk says, Vaiten as a Ketores, Vaichaper Alaam. Right, we see in part, not in Parsha Zachrimos by the Yom Kippur, but by Korach. Right, when there was a Magefa by Korach, so Aaron took the Ketores and he stopped the Magefa, right? Again, we've been saying Ketores, right, as a, not a skula, but a tefillah, that Hashem should stop the Magefa of Corona. So some too, right, we see that Ketores can atone. It can be Mechaper for sins, and help maybe heal a plague, but here it definitely is a Kapara. So what is it atone for? A Lashon Hara. And you see the Isser of Lashon Hara. Again, by Korach, it wasn't that Korach and the rebellion caused the Magefa. It's afterwards that the people came to Moshe and said, Rashi points out, Atem Hamitem Esam Hashem. Right? The people were saying, you are killing the Jews, meaning Moshe and Aaron. Right? Sounds like a news article from today's headlines, right? From nowadays, right? Korach rebels. Ketores kills 250 Kohanim. Moshe and Aaron are killing Jews. Right? Like, what's going on over here? So there was a magifa because of that lashon hara. So the ketores was mechaper for that lashon hara. Yavar davar sheva. So the gemara learns out. How do you know? So yavo davar sheva chashai, right? Vichaper al maisa chashai. So something that is done in private, right? That usually the ketores was done by himself and inside the kodesh kedushin. So it should be mechaper for something that's done in private, right? Lashon hara is spoken between two people, three people in a room, right? So it should atone. That's how it makes sense. It's very, very, very yashu, right? One thing atones for the other. Okay. Now, what about other areas in the Beis HaMikdash? Until now, we mentioned that you shouldn't go right into the Heichal, into the Kodesh, when the Kohen is Lefnai V'Lefnim, inside the Kodesh Kodashim. So now, what about other places in the Beis HaMikdash? This is what, again, if you have a diagram of the Beis HaMikdash, that will help. It's not Hasim, we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Kalim. Right? Porshim mibein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach b'shas ha'ktara. Porish means to separate, meaning that no one should be there. Right? So we should clear the area between the ulam and the mizbeach b'shas ha'ktara at the time of the ketores. Now, there's a lot of things that needed to be defined here. Where is the ulam? And so again, the ulam, as you remember, is like the brim of the top hat. If you look down on the Beis HaMikdash building, so it looks like a top hat, and the brim, right, the front area, right, which was closest to the Azara and the Mizbach Hazav, and the Mizbach HaNechoshes, right, so that area is the ulam. So no one can be inside the ulam, even though that's technically inside the building, right next to the Kodesh. Right, you have the ulam, you have the Kodesh, and then you have a Kodesh Kodashim. So no one is allowed to be in the ulam. No one can be, no one can be in the area between the ulam and the Mizbeach, right? Between the Mizbeach, you remember, was set off by away from the ulam, between the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the big, huge Mizbeach, or the Del of the Avoda, and the ulam, no one's even allowed to be in there when the Kohen is bringing the Ketores. Okay, it was right. Rashi, yeah. Okay, fine. Vayter. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Lo shana elam shasak tara de heichal." That's only when the ketores was being brought in the heichal and the kodesh. Meaning every single day, right, twice a day, morning and afternoon. Right, we talked about this, that the ketores was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It was offered. Right, it was brought on the mizbech hazav, which was in the kodesh, which was in the heichal. Right. So when did you have to clear the space between the ulam and the mizbeach? That's when the ketores was being brought in the kodesh, in the heichal. Aval b'shas haktara, but the lefnai v'lefnim. But when the on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol brought it all the way into the kodesh kadashim, then heichal parshi b'beinu ulam l'mizbeach lo parshi. Then you didn't need to clear the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, but then you only needed to clear the heichal from the kodesh itself. And again, the idea here is that we don't really want people to go into an area where they're not allowed to. I mean, d'oraisa, we're going to see that. These dinam are derabanan, and midaraisa, a person shouldn't be, let's say, right, one step removed from the room where the ketores is being brought. And so the rabbanan, right, added, right, kind of backed you up a little bit more, right, to make sure that nobody would go in there. So one second. So the Gemara says, Maser Ravada bar Abba. Again, if you remember Rabbi Elazar, what did you say? He said that's only when the ketores is being brought in the heichal, then you can't be between the mizbeach and the ulam. But when the Kohen Gadol is bringing the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedoshim, then you could be between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, that was fine. Maser Rav Ada bar Abba, Rav Ada bar Abba said, what are you talking about? The Amrei LaKedi, and some people say it was Kedi. Now Kedi is either an Amora without any name, or it could be the name of a person, or the name of an actual Amora, Kedi, whatever. So either way, let's say Rav Ada bar Abba asked the following question. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, right, he says like this, that Kashim Shaporshin Mibena Ulam of Mizbeach B'Shas HaKtara, just like you separate, we vacate the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach when the Kohen is bringing the Ketores. Now, obviously, there are two types of Ketoreses, right? One brought every day, one brought on Yom Kippur, right? It's going to be important to figure out which one that is, right? The Gemara now assumes that we're talking about the Ketores inside the Kodesh Kadashim. So that's going to be the question, right? So again, Rabbi Elazar said that when the Ketores is brought inside the Kodesh Kadashim, you don't have to vacate the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So okay, either way, Rabbi Yossi says we vacate the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach when the Kohen is bringing the Ketores, it's kach porshim b'shas matan par Kohen Mashiach, so too, when there's sprinkling of blood from these three korbanos that would be brought inside into the heichal, again, just that the blood is just to what are these the sorry keep on stumbling over my words over here. Right, Kohen Mashiach is a case where the Kohen Gadol is a Talmid Chacham, right, and he paskins that they should do something. And the Maisa, it was actually Aser Karis, right, and he paskined that the Am Yisrael should do it, and he thought it was mutter. Okay, Bar Halmadav Shel Tzibur is a similar scenario where the Sanhedrin said something was mutter, that it was Chayef Karis, and really Am Yisrael did it, and so they bring one par to be mechaper for the rest of Am Yisrael, and Ziriya was Kochavim, right? That's also, if for whatever reason the nation did some sort of avodah for avodah zara, and they thought it was mutter, so they would bring that korban. So either way, but we still that area had to be vacated, right? Also during those avodas, Hama Milo Yeshbe Mehechal Bit Levin Ulam Val Mizbeach. What's therefore the difference? What is the greater chumrah between the actual heichal, between the kodesh building, and the space between the ulam and the mizbeach? Right, elish heichal, portion bein b'shas haktara, bein shalot b'shas haktara. The heichal has to be vacated regardless, right? Whether there's ketores being brought or not. Beinu ulam v'la mizbeach in portion el b'shas haktara, but between the mizbeach and the ulam, right? You only have to vacate that when the ketores is being brought. But in manavshach. Right, we see the tachlis that when the ketores is being brought, right, you have to vacate the area between the mizbeach and the ulam. My love, b'shas haktara d'lefnim. Isn't that talking about the ketores inside the kodesh kadashim? That's against Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said you don't have to vacate the area between the mizbeach and the ulam when the ketores is being brought in the kodesh kadashim. So he says no, b'shas haktara d'heichal. No, it's just simply talking about the ketores being brought inside the kodesh, inside the heichal every single day, and that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar said, that you have to vacate the area between the mizbeach. And the ulam. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, ihachi, if that's true, so hama maila, right? Didn't we just say what the difference is between the heichal, right, and the area between the ulam and the mizbeach? Well, vesula, but there are other chumras, right? There are other chumras. That's not the only chumra. If you tell me that you have to vacate the heichal, but not the areas when the ketores is being brought and when it's not being brought, right? In terms of the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, you don't have to vacate unless he's bringing the ketores. So there are other chumras, right? Why do we only list one of them? Right? With regards to the heichal, to the kodesh, so you have to get out of there whether the ketores is being brought in the heichal on a regular day or in the kodesh kadashim, right, on Yom Kippur. But in the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, so a little partial of the b'shas haktara the heichal. The only time you have to leave is when the ketores is being brought in the kodesh, in the heichal, on every day. So it says you're right. In a chenami, v'hakatani, this is what it means. Right, ela sheba heichal, and that's what it meant. Sheba heichal, what's the difference between the heichal and the space between the ulam and the mizbeach? Parshim bein b'shas haktara, ubein shalom b'shas haktara. That's when in the heichal you have to leave regardless of whether the ketores is being burnt. Between the ulam and the mizbeach, in portion, but between the mizbeach and the ulam, you don't have to leave. Ela b'shas haktara bilvad. Ela b'shas haktara, only with the time of burn, meaning when they are burning the ketores, meaning that you have to be portion when the ketores is not being burned, means that when there's no when meaning that's referring to when you're doing the ketores inside the kodesh kadashim. So that's exactly what the brisa is saying, that you have to vacate the that's literally what the brisa is saying, that you have to vacate whether the heichal is being whether the ketores is being brought in the heichal or in the kodesh kadashim. So Gemara says it tries again. That is another chumrah, right? The ilum heichal. And the heichal parsi being kedusha today, being kedusha lefnei lefnim. Right? Whether there's a now the kedusha here is not referring to the ketores, this is referring to the sprinkling of the blood. So that's what Rashi says, right? The matan damim. So the other chumra is also that the ketores, you have to vacate the heichal. Forget during the ketores, but when you're sprinkling, when the kohen gadol is sprinkling blood, whether he's sprinkling blood, right, in the heichal or in the kodesh kadashim, feeling we bein ha'ulam v'lam mizbeach lo parshi yala b'kedusha b'heichal, right? But in terms of between the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, right, so he only has to sprinkle. He only has to leave when they're sprinkling the blood in the heichal. But not in the Kodesh Kodashim. So why don't you mention that as well? So Amar Rava, Rava said, yeah, Shem Prisha Achazi, well, it's kind of the same thing. Right? The Avodas are different, but that's the same distinction we made, right? Whether there's an Avoda going on between the Heichal, in the Heichal or in the Kodesh Kodashim, right? So one step removed is where you have to vacate. If it's in the Kodesh Kodashim, you don't have to vacate the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and if it's in the Heichal, so then you do. Okay, so that's basically the Gemara understanding that that's the difference between the Heichal and the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And how many steps removed it is from the avoda being done. If the avoda is in the Kodesh Kodashim, so you have to vacate one step removed, i.e. the Heichal. If the avoda is being done in the Heichal, so you have to vacate one step removed, the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Okay, Amar Mar, back to our Brisa. What do we say? Right, kach portion b'shas matan par koi mashiach par helam davar shel tzibur siri avos kochavim. Even when you sprinkle the blood of those korbanos, you also have to leave the area. So the Gemara says, Minalan. How do you know you're not allowed to be in the Heichal? Now this is not the, because we're going to learn the Din D'Oraisa. Again, the Din D'Oraisa, so you're not allowed to be in the Heichal when those things are happening, right? The Kohen has to do that himself, right? But how do you know, again, that's the Din D'Oraisa. The Rabbanan, we said that you're not allowed to be even between the area, between the Ulam, right, and the Mizbeach. But Minalan, how do you know that you're not even allowed to be in the Heichal during those korbanos, when the Kohen is sprinkling the blood for those korbanos? Amar Rabbi Pidas, Asi kapara kapara miyom kippurim. Right, he has gzer shava kapara kapara from Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Ada bara Avashma Minalan malus daraisa. Apparently we see that these chumras, right, these, the fact that you're not allowed to be in these areas, right, that's mid adin daraisa. And it's a halacha l'mosh misina. Because these sakadai tichta rabbanan. If you tell me that the rabbanan, maishna ben ulam l'mizbeach, What's the difference between the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? Because Domi Mikri Ve'aili, Chazal were nervous that people might end up going into the Ulam, into the Heichal. Mikula Azari Nami Nefeshu. But if that's a concern, so let everybody leave the entire courtyard, right? The entire Azara. Right? Domi Mikri Ve'aili, because maybe they'll end up going in, right? And going into the Heichal, going into the Ulam. Says no. Between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, right, there's nothing there to really give you pause, right, from wandering in from one to the next. Now, it's not really correct because there were stairs, but okay, let's assume stairs were not, right, the stairs are built into the floor. It's not noticeable enough. But Azara, but if you're in the Azara, let's say you're on the other side of the Azara, you have a massive Mizbeach in between, right, where you are and where the Avodah is taking place. So there, Menker and Milsa, then it's very easy to notice and realize that, oh, maybe I shouldn't go in there right now, and people will stop. Okay, so that's not a good diuk. That Rav Ada Bar Ava explains why that's not necessarily the Gemara explains why Rav Ada Bar Ava's diuk that it has to be daraisa is not necessarily true. Amar Rava, Rava tries to learn another halacha from this. When he says Shema Minah Kedushas Ulam Heichal Chadam Yelsehi, we see that the kedusha of the Ulam and the Heichal is the same. Right, that the Ulam again is the top hat part of the Beis Hamikdash building. The Heichal is the Kodesh where you had the menorah and the Mizbech Hazav and what did I leave out? And the Shulchan. So you see that the Ulam and the Heichal have the same Kedusha. These talk about the Kedushas in the new, because if you thought that they were two different levels of Kedusha, so then Ulam Gufagzir. So then the fact that you're not allowed to be in the Ulam, that itself is a Din D'Rabbanan, right? If you're telling me that they're different, so that the D'Oraisa, you're not allowed to be in the Heichal when the Avodah is going on, the Ulam, which is the room that's right next to the Heichal, right, adjacent to the Heichal, so if that's a Din D'Rabbanan, so then, then you can make another Din D'Rabbanan that you can't even be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. If the Ulam itself is already Din D'Rabbanan, so why would we be gozer between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? That would be a second Gzera. That makes no sense. So it says, that's also not a good inference from this Din. Because bein ulam ubein ulam is bein chadak kedusha he, that heichal ulam shtei kedushos. You're misunderstanding that, says the Gemara. That really, you're right. The heichal and the ulam are two different kedushas. That the heichal you're not allowed to be in midaraisa. That's the pasuk. The ulam is a din derabanan that you may go from the ulam into the heichal, and the area between the ulam and the mizbeach is the same as being inside of the ulam. And therefore, it's not two gzeras, it's the same gzera. We don't want you wandering into the Heichal, so therefore they answer going into the Ulam and the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Okay, a bunch of quick hits here now on the on the Mishnah, right? But the Mishnah said, "B'chol yom hayachot and mishal kesef." Right, every day the Kohen would take up coals for the Ketores with a silver shovel, and then pour it into a gold shovel. My time, what's the reason? The Torah chasam mamonim sheyisrael. The Torah was concerned that if they used a golden shovel for the coals, mistama, it would get messed up, and you have to replace it. And it's gold already, right? Okay, you're talking about silver, mistama, it's easier to replace. It's also probably a little bit stronger, I would imagine. Vayom chotem shalzav uba hayamachnis. On Yom Kippur, you'd use a golden shovel and just forget the pouring from one to the next. You just go straight in to the kodesh etc. My time, what's the reason? So mishim choshev the kohen gadol. Again, we're concerned about the weakness of the kohen gadol. We want to make sure, right, as many steps as we can take away from the avoda, from the process, right, to make sure that he can do everything while fasting. B'chol yom mishal arba kamin. Again, every day the silver shovel had four kav. Poured it into a shovel with three kav. Rabbi Yossi says it was really six kav and poured it into three kav. So Tanya was in a brisa. Is it a brisa? Okay, it might be a Mishnah. Not sure. Okay. Gemara and Tamid on Daf Lama Gimel. Fine. Nizpazru lo kav gecholah mechabdan la'ama. Right. He would pour... If some of the coals got spread out, so mechabdan, he would sweep them la'ama to the river. There was like a little canal that ran through the Azara that flowed into Nachal Kidron. Obviously you can have leftovers when you're pouring from a four kav shovel into a three-cup shovel, or a six-cup shovel into a three-cup shovel. So all the leftovers that fell on the ground, obviously you'd have to sweep them away because they're hot, right? And the Kohanim were walking barefoot, so they would sweep them away into this little river that kind of cleaned out the Azara. So we have two brises that says how many coals were left over by the time you poured from one shovel into the next. The first brisa says one kav, and the second brisa says two kav. So the Gemara says bishlam hanach tani kav. The first one that says it's one kav, so that's Rabbana. That's a rabbi. That's a Rabbana. She says the tani kav shita, who said that you took a four shovel kav and poured into a three shovel kav, and then you had one kav left over. That makes sense, right? That you obviously sweep into the river. Alach tani kavayim, but the brisa that says there were two kav that were left over, so money. Who is that? Lo Rabbanan, lo Rabbi Yossi. Right? The Rabbanan, we said, is only one. Rabbi Yossi said that you take six kav and you pour it into three kav. So that's not two kav, that's three kav, right, left over. So who is that shita? Rav Chista says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. By the Tanya, like one of the Rabbis, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, he says that b'shal kavayim ha'imachnis, that it wasn't four into three, it was four into two. So therefore, you had two left over. And that's Bryce's shita. Rav Ashi says no. Afilu tim Rabbi Yossi. You can even say this is Rabbi Yossi's shita. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say he took a six kav shovel and poured it into a three kav? How do you have two kav left over? So v'hokhi kamer. This is what he meant to say. If you remember, the Mishnah says not. He didn't say that he took a shovel of six kav. He said the Mishnah said he took a shovel of a saw. Well, what's a saw? So we had said that's six kav, but that's not entirely correct. Because Hakka Kama is what it means to say, B'chol yom ha'echotem b'shal sam midbaris. If you remember, we mentioned, I think, once in this Daf Yomi cycle, that the measurements increased. It used to be in the midbar that a sa'ah was five kav. Right? A desert sa'ah was five kav. So therefore, Umayra latoch shlosha kav min Yerushalmis, he would then pour it into three kav of Yerushalayim, which, again, when the kavim went up a little bit, so there, that's five into three, and that's how you would end up with two kav scattered on the Azara that you would have to sweep into the river. Okay. B'chol yom ha'isa kvedi v'ayom ha'kala, and every single day the shovel was heavy. Today on Yom Kippur it was light. Again, tana b'chol yom ha'isa gilda ave v'ayom rach, and every day it was thick. Today it was thin. Meaning, again, just to make it lighter for the Kohen Gadol to carry. And one more, b'chol yom ha'yaktar v'yom arukah, on the normal day, it was a very short handle, but today it was a long handle. The Gemara says, my time, who cares? K'desha tehe zero shal Kohen Gadol misayato. So the Kohen Gadol can use his arm to kind of carry right along, to kind of support the shovel with his arm, and again, to help him carry it. Tana within the Raisa, b'chol yom lo haya. Right, mistama, again, just it's not a little amount of coals. It seemed to be a decent amount of coals. Right, mistama, right, if you use your entire arm, right, so that already helps him carry and balance the weight. Tani will then raisa b'chol yom lo haya la ni'ashtik. Every day the shovel did not have a niyashtik. I'll explain that's a machlokes rishonim what that is in a second. Vayom haya niyashtik, hayala niyashtik tivri ben hasgan, right, the son of the sgan, right, the son of the backup, the son of the backup, I'm not sure which one, but the son of the backup says that a Kohen Gadol said that, testified that on Yom Kippur there would be a niyashtik. What is a niyashtik? So Rashi says there was some sort of bell. If you look at Rashi, Tabaz, Barosha, Shemekashke, Shemashmiya Kol. There was some sort of bell or some sort of jingling thing on the Ketores, similar to on the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, who had Pamon V'rimon, right, had jingling bells, so people could hear when he walked. Other Rishonim understand maybe it was a cover. Okay, either way, either to, you know, to protect the Kohen Gadol from the coal, the heat of the coals, or maybe to make sure it didn't go out, because again, there was some, he'd have to put it down, and the coals may extinguish themselves. Okay, but either way, whether it's a bell or a cover, right, on Yom Kippur, the, right, the shovel was a little bit different than the shovel they used throughout the year. Okay, Rav Ossi, we'll stop here. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.